The Miami Dolphins have another game on Sunday. And this one, they could get closer to 500. Will they? What is up, fan? I'm laughing because every time we hit the intro or the outro, me and TD are like, bam, 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 bam. Every time.
You good, don't little tune, good little tune, man.
It's good. It's good. Real quick, let's shout out today's sponsor, first being Brunt. Again, if you're working in construction, if you're my dad's a truck driver, I'm telling him about Brunt. Go out, get yourself some of this stuff. It's really durable, really comfortable stuff. Use the promo code HMA and you get 10 dollars off, as well as
I think I ordered those exact shoes, by the way.
They're nice. They look real nice too. Fire. Plus I'm up in Jersey and hoping we might get starting in snow soon.
Might
need some boots.
Is it warm right now?
It went up, so it was 69 yesterday. It's gonna go back up to the 80s and then it's gonna officially become fall and like high of 69. So
no turning back.
I got the window open right now. I'm loving it. Also, check out SeatGeek. Again, if you want tickets, if you're in the Carolina area, you want to go to the game, you want to support the Dolphins, go use SeatGeek. Millions of downloads, thousands of different events, whether it's concerts and all that stuff. Use the promo code PHINS and you get yourself $20 off. And also, we're going to jump into it. We're going to do it right now. Off the rip, we're gonna do a little sleeper, more or less. We're gonna jump right into this.
I love this game,
and we're gonna see how
you guys feeling. Know there's a lot of Carolina Dolphin fans, right?
Yeah.
Side note, I know we talked about how LA and the West Coast is big Dolphin. Did you watch the Thursday night game? How many 49er fans were cheering?
Always when they play.
Holy crap! There's like no Ram fans there. Good.
We need to take this sleeper serious because we were on point last week. I hit every single one except one by 2 yards.
I'm telling you, listen to us. Use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. And they now have a promo. Your first ticket, $20 free.
Nice.
So you don't even have to put a deposit or anything. Go check it out. Now, a lot of these are touchdowns, like Devon Achane. Anytime half a touchdown, I'm thinking the more on that, you know, unless you guys think he's not going to score a touchdown.
He's your number one offensive weapon right now. I would see no reason why he wouldn't score a touchdown.
Speaking of, in the thumbnail, Jalen Waddle, anytime touchdown. Now, are they going to be we'll get more into this because we're going to preview the game. Are they going to be blanketing him? Are they going to be doubling him?
I'm not going with a Jalen Waddle touchdown.
Darren Waller. Anytime touchdown, more
you
or less.
You got to ride the wave.
Yeah. And I actually did a collab with the Panthers content creator, and I will tell you what he says when we talk about the preview. You also have Tua, 225 and a half passing yards, more or less. I take the more on that one as well.
I'm taking the more on that one.
Stop, Allen.
They're going to run the ball. Carolina's not good at run defense. And
you the geese?
They do have two good cornerbacks.
That is true. Bryce Young.
J.C. Horn's a very good cornerback.
Bryce Young, 212 and a half passing yards, more or less.
More.
Touchdowns?
Passing yards, 212 passing yards.
Who doesn't put Roos 100 passer rating against the Dolphins?
I'm trying to see who they're running. They don't really have running back yardage.
I would go less on that. They don't have running back because Chubber is going to be out.
And then you got ETN. Anytime half a touchdown, all they have is more. They don't have less on that one. But again, use the promo code HMA. You get 100% up to $100. Go check them out. Official sponsor of the channel. And let's jump into this preview in this game. Like I said, I got the opportunity to do a collab with a Panthers content creator. He was asking me, you know, the highs and lows of the team. And then he answered for his team. And he said one of the things, he's like, we don't have Luke Kuechly anymore. We are horrible at covering tight ends. That more or less with that touchdown, are they going to feed the hot hand? And is Darren Waller going to have another big game? Again, they're going to slowly bring him along as, you know, you look at the injury report. He did have a limited practice because, you know, hasn't played in a hot minute. Do you guys see Darren Waller having a little bit more reps this week against the Carolina Panthers? Allen.
That's my question because I literally asked Mike McDaniel that very question well, roundabout sort of way, on Friday. It was a three-part question. How did he come out of the game physically? Mm-hmm. If he was still going to be on a pitch count, and could the pitch count be affected by Tyreek Hill no longer being there? And the answers were, came out, no news is good news. And then he joked that, well, he kind of earned more ops, don't you think? So I think it's going to be like incremental. By the way, I also did a collab on the Old Offense podcast with Scott Fowler, who is a columnist for the Charlotte Observer, used to write for the Miami Herald back in the 90s. And he told me the same thing. They do not cover tight ends very well. But he said, at least they make up for it by they don't stop the run and they have two sacks in four games.
I was going to bring that up. Their defensive front isn't that, you know, great.
You act like Miami's defensive front is great. Like, I'm not throwing shade at anybody the Dolphins play, because this shade will go right back in your face.
That's very true. That's very true. Yes. And Alan made a point with the passing yards on Tua. You know, I did the film breakdown, and some of the biggest plays were on play action, where at the second touchdown, just
wait till you get back to the RPO, which I think should be heavily utilized right now, especially without Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. especially on the road where you don't need the you're not going to use motion. I think this offense is an I formation RPO two tight end based offense, and on top of that. I love this aspect of the Darren Waller situation. Mm. They've had a package of plays for Darren Waller, mainly a lot of plays that Frank Smith used to use, is very familiar with, knows they're installing it. So you can think that they're going to really continue to roll that out on third downs, red zone situations, opening drive. Sort of, because not only is he showing that he can be more of a dynamic, or he could be the dynamic player that he once was, and we don't know how long that's going to last because we don't know how long he's going to stay healthy.
Yeah.
But on top of that, they need him to be the emotional spark plug of this team, especially now that Tyreek is gone. Talking to players this week, and you could just sense that the one thing they knew replacing Tyreek from a talent, playmaking, attention-drawing standpoint was going to be difficult to do, but you could sense that there's more fear about the emotional end of it. And that's why he was in the locker room today. And, you know, literally, Tyreek is the emotion of this team.
Yeah, and, you know, I got the opportunity to talk to Teron Armstead again, who said that he talked to him. He, you know, hit him up and they FaceTimed him when he was in the hospital. And he was like, he said that the only reason Tyreek was laughing, because if he wasn't laughing, he was going to pass out from how much pain he was in, which I'm like, and he's like, yeah, they gave him nothing. Like, I thought at least, you know, because it's when they are huddled around him, they were like, we're going to have to put your leg back to where it was. I thought they'd give him a shot. It's not, he was like, no, they gave him nothing. He said he was not on anything yet. And he was, you know,
wow.
He said they were talking about 2K and are you going to play with me? You know, are we going to play tonight? We're going to get on tonight.
When's your next Twitch?
Armstead was like, you good? He's like, nah, I'm good. What are you doing? What are you up to? He's like, what are you talking? Like, he was just nonchalant. He was just like, I guess it's a situation where he's like, what am I going to do? You know, like
Tyreek laughs off stress and I've noticed that about him. Like, remember when I asked him about the 30-yard receptions? He was like, he started laughing. He didn't think it was funny. He didn't think it was funny. But everybody responds to things differently. Tyreek, and he does. He laughs off stress. And like, when I saw that,
good for him.
Yeah.
It's a
nervous reaction to
Someone I want to talk about is a video, Omar, that you put on Twitter talking about showing who Mike McDaniel was kind of close to.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that was Westbrook, right?
Who? Westbrook who?
The receiver, Akine?
No.
Oh, I thought it was 18.
Malik Washington, right?
It was Malik Washington. Oh. And then he went to the inside linebackers to have a talk with them, because you know they're
putting fools.
Yeah, they're listen. They're the two leading tacklers in the NFL. There's a reason why.
If you're long enough, man.
But if you get 15 tackles and all of them are 5 yards on field or 10 yards on field, I mean,
yeah,
that's not good.
I mean, yeah, no, I'm not arguing with you. You look at where they're making these tackles. They're 5, 6, 7 mm-hmm. yards downfield.
Correct.
But that's on the people. It is a little bit on them, yes. But the defensive linemen got to keep them clean.
Yeah.
What he said.
Hey, them boys making a Pro Bowl.
Off those tackles. Yeah. TD, what's your thoughts on this game? Necessarily, like, defensively, because offensively, you know, we see what the Panthers defense looks like. It's not great, but again, the Dolphins defense isn't great, and we'll get to it. We got about one more topic before we really get into the defense, but kind of looking at the Dolphins defense, what do you need to see from them?
I've kept the same energy all year. I have zero expectations of the defense, so whatever they put out on the field, I'm expecting the offense to win the game. But
from the beginning of the season, you had zero expectations?
Yeah, I had zero expectations. I mean, I thought the D-line would be better than it is, but I still had zero expectation for this defense.
They were number four last year. You had zero expectations?
Yeah, but again, I evaluate the team of certain key positions, the dogs that have departed, that was holding it together, excuse me. Yeah, I had zero expectations. But here's what I will tell you. They will have a better showing this week. They will. This is the game to do. Yeah, they better. Because if they don't, man, don't even ask me that question again. All right? But yeah, I think they'll get off. I think this is going to be a Dolphin party this weekend. The Panthers are just in shambles. Now, you know, some people, they'll say, yeah, but what about that, you know, Atlanta Falcons game where they literally, you know, 40. Held them to zero points and put up 40 or whatever. Yeah, they still had the yards. They still had the yardage in that game, Atlanta. It's just turnovers.
Yeah, well, Penix had 3, I think.
Yeah, fumbling 2 picks or something like that, I believe. It was the turnovers. So my thing is the defense, I think they're going to have a fun day. I think the pass rush is finally going to, you know, get off, because I don't think they're going to concern themselves as much with the run with Hubbard being out, even though they're still going to obviously run the ball. But I just think overall this is the week to spark everything and feel good about yourself as a team, even though it'll be a false flag, but it'll be a good look this week. And that's on the defensive side of the ball. Did you ask about the offense or no?
Just the you will get to that.
Okay, yeah, that's just the defense.
Because, you know, they go out, they dominate this game, like I said in the intro, 2-3. And then you got a big game at home versus the Chargers. So, again, we'll talk about this next week, but they did lose to the Giants. So,
what exactly, other than the fact that Carolina really sucks, what exactly have we seen from the Dolphins to suggest that they're due to dominate? And hold on. It's a road game after a Monday night. Yep. And also, hold on. And also, this Carolina's only their second home game. And then their first home game is the one where they spanked Atlanta 30-0.
It's called law of large numbers. You be bad long enough, you're going to be good eventually. Okay?
Wouldn't that apply to Carolina also?
Which is true, but there's been fluctuating. There was just 2 weeks ago they were good.
So, okay,
we do. Okay? Broke clock twice a day.
I'm not saying the Dolphins aren't going to win. I'm saying I don't know. I think it might be a stretch to expect that the Dolphins are going to spend.
No, you're right. You're right.
I am with you, Alan. I just can't even fathom why anybody would think that this Dolphins team is just going to go manhandle somebody who they look horrible right now. And they just lost their top playmaker in the NFL.
You're right. There's no reason to believe that. I'm just literally, I've decided to dig into my hope bucket.
Yeah.
Because here's the deal. If they come out in this game and lose and continue to show weakness in the fronts on the defensive side of the football, and the offense is stagnant, and I don't even care if you're like average, you're moving it a little, but you're stagnant, please start trading people. Like this, we got to stop this, man. But again, I do have hope for this week. I think that this is the defining week that can actually spark them to try to get back on track. But if they don't, it has to be demoralizing right after Tyreek is out and you play one of the inferior teams, even though I know, Omar, all teams are competitive and good in the NFL.
Like, who, the 1-3 battle? Who is inferior to who?
why. Yeah.
Well, which is true, but gosh, we ain't supposed to be inferior like this. We're not supposed to be.
It's always gonna, to me, these games always come down to injuries. Like, look at Baltimore. Everybody was, ooh, Baltimore is gonna be tough. Ooh, like Baltimore done lost like 5 Pro Bowlers. You know how
they're gonna win 11 games, regardless.
It's not looking good from a health standpoint.
Yeah, I am.
So okay. I'm just saying, you never know how a team is going to play, or what a team is going to face, or what issues they're going to have. Yeah. Like, this team changes, the complexity of this team changes drastically. They lose Patrick Paul, or they lose Zach Sealer. So you never know. I do expect them to win. But I am not – I'm nervous about – there is an opponent on this schedule I'm not nervous about.
It's, yeah. The thing I will say
right. – It doesn't happen very often, but he's right.
The thing I'll say about Carolina and what they did to the Falcons is teams tend to play different against division rivals. So, you know, it was very decisive, and it was a very big win. But, you know, you also can say the same with Miami, who, you know, two mistakes away from – you know, still being in it with Buffalo, New England, one mistake from there. So it's like, who's closer, I guess, between two bad teams? It's the same thing with the Dolphins and the Jets, and obviously the Dolphins were the better team.
It's what Mike McDaniel says. You got to – how did it get – to win the game.
You got to win the game.
You got to win the game. To win the game, you have to not lose the game.
Correct. You also said we're one day closer to death.
I like that one too.
That's a 1974 song, Omar.
It's 1974 song for real. Yes. How would Mike McDaniel know that?
It's a very, very, very famous song. I would be very surprised if he just pulled that out of the air.
Wow.
Check it out. It's a great song.
Mike McDaniel's listening to Eminem as a young person. He don't know no 1972.
I bet you he knows about Pink Floyd than the song time.
Right, okay. Now, the Dolphins are 1.5 favorite. So that's, they're giving favorite. 1.5 to Carolina.
And we're on the home
road.
Yeah, so 4 points.
On the road.
4.5 point spread.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see.
Wait, what you mean 4.5?
Because the home team always gives 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's 4.5. Speaking of, I know this doesn't pertain to us, but the Saints are 1.5 favorite against the Giants, which I think is interesting. Let's get to the next one. So we don't have Tyreek. We do still have weapons. We have Waddle, Achan, we have Malik. Waller. Now Taj will probably be, you know, brought into the fold.
He's gotta.
Thank you, Omar. Are we sure?
No, he's not.
Westbrook, Waller. Who's the next guy up? Who's gonna step up? Now obviously it has to be
How you didn't say D. Eskridge's name? That's disrespectful. I'm just letting you know that.
Because I've heard his name since.
Who is that?
Robbie Chosen.
D. Eskridge.
He signed with Washington. Sorry, Omar.
He was the one of the best. He was
trying to provoke me
during preseason. Really, a kicker turner for Miami.
Listen. Here's the thing about Taj Washington. He's only a slot. I think Malik is going to handle the slot work. Maybe Jalen takes the backup slot work. Will Taj be active? Probably. I think it's really going to be I think it's going to be Malik is clearly going to be the other starter. When he goes inside to the slot position, I think it's going to be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Now, for all the fancy plays that Tyreek used to run, I think it's going to be D. Eskridge.
That's the piece that I'm concerned about. Will we be in our bag for the fancy plays? Because now you need the guy to.
No.
Yeah, because that role, you have to actually know it to the utmost.
According to Tyreek, he was making it up all the time.
Well, at least he had a little bit of chemistry making it up.
But not only that is part of what made those gadget plays kind of stand out and work when they did work is because of Tyreek's beep, beep, speed.
Yeah.
Which you don't have anymore.
Yeah.
And Doug, how does Taj Washington go from not being active in any of the first 4 games to all of a sudden he's going to get targets?
He makes a couple people miss in his first exhibition game, and y'all all on the Taj Washington bandwagon.
If
he hating on Taj,
if If Taj gets four catches, you're not hearing the end of the
ball. I ain't getting four catches. Okay,
I'm not saying he will. Right. I'm not saying he will. But if he gets any catches, you're not hearing the end of it, Tuesday. I'm going on ahead.
Hold on. Wait, wait. We got to put a baseline at two. We got to put a baseline at two.
You said nothing.
One and a half. Over under.
Make it at two. Make it at two.
Both of you looking at me like I'm speaking out of the side of my neck.
Doug, if he doesn't get any snaps on offense, you'll never hear the end of it.
Okay. Hey, I'm not saying. I've thrown names that are our receivers out there, and you guys are coming at me. So I'm not saying he's going to.
But you ignore D. Eskridge. Like, D. Eskridge is like.
If Taj gets any the
fourth receiver on this team.
If Taj gets a touchdown, I'm doing the show by myself.
I can nearly promise you that ain't loud.
Hey, you I'm never
gonna
know.
I'm gonna mute the two of you because T didn't say anything. And me and T are just gonna talk.
No disrespect to Taj.
Doug, we'll pull a Shador.
There's targets to be had, though. Even like, tell me if I'm wrong. Maybe I have the game ping wrong, but when Tyreek was on the field, wasn't Malik getting some looks?
Yeah,
or was that solely after?
I think he's getting looks. I don't know if he's necessarily getting plays called for him. And to me, I know. And here's the thing that I definitely want Dolphin fans to get. Understand that this Dolphins offense has practiced more without Tyreek than they have practiced with Tyreek. So I don't want to hear any of these excuses about, oh, we got to get adjusted to it, or, oh, no, you had to get adjusted to Tyreek being back, because Tyreek missed all of the OTAs, all of the mini camp.
Last 2 weeks of training camp.
Last 3 weeks, because he didn't start. He didn't practice in Chicago.
Correct. It was Chicago.
Chicago, Detroit, Jacksonville.
My bad.
Yeah.
To be fair to Omar, all that experience without Tyreek, they were actually still struggling, though.
I don't know if they were struggling.
I mean, how many?
They were also playing without Devon Achane. I don't know if they were struggling. I think they were learning where their limitations were. Like, I think Chicago taught them, oh God, we got to practice against press a little bit more, because that was laughable. I don't know what Detroit taught them. The one thing I think about this offense minus Tyreek is it would allow Tua to go back to his Alabama days, where you just find the open guy and you get them the ball. Now, whether that open guy can give me yards after catch or...
We're all open at Alabama. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Oh, I'm over here like, okay, who's going to be open?
I'm sorry. I was wrong. Let me correct that. They were all wide open at Alabama.
Hey, listen. And I want to say this to this whole panel, especially this guy down here. Do you know that Tua Tagovailoa is number two all time in the NFL right now for completion percentage, and he's just a shade below Joe Burrow?
What was that?
Ahead of the Drew Breeses and the Kurt Warners and the Chad Penningtons.
That's disingenuous.
Congratulations.
Yeah, look at this.
It's either a bubble screen or a 40-yard comeback.
Nothing this man can do will win some people over, except become a fourth quarter killer.
Do you know that he's eighth in the NFL in create rate?
What the hell is create rate?
My point exactly. See,
you don't know what create rate is. Think about it.
Who decides what's a creation?
Why don't you ask that, man?
Hey, man, my boy got that create rate. I'm on it. Hey,
listen, plays out of nothing.
Tua's not a bad quarterback.
What? Make plays out of nothing.
Create rate, yeah, he's eighth.
Tua's not a bad quarterback. I don't know why we always debate Tua Tagovailoa. He's a good quarterback.
By the way, I'm third. I'm third in good points by minute. Thank you. It's my metrics.
Anyway, the defense. Defensive front. Not getting pressure. It's still a thing. They're just not getting pressure.
That's stopping the run either. So
they struggle.
Yeah, you worried about not getting pressure. That ain't the problem. That's not the problem. They can't stop the run. That's problem number one on this team.
I can't do anything.
Problem number one. You can't do nothing on defense till you stop the run.
That first drive, I watched a tight end take Bradley Chubb and throw him to the ground. And I was like, what? And then I saw him go one-on-one with the right tackle. And again, he got thrown to the ground. And I'm like, I had to ask Teron Armstead. I'm like, is there certain plays where they tell the pass rushers not to rush the quarterback and just contain him? And he says it's called the crush play, where essentially you're just trying to crush the offensive line into the quarterback. He was like, so there are instances where they try to, you know, rip and move and spin to get to the quarterback, and there are times where they'll just drive the tackle. Because I was watching and I'm like, there's so many times where like Chubb is just engaged in the block and then he's just engaged with the block. And I'm like, and like I said, I saw a tight end throw him on a run play. I saw another play where he was on, if you're the quarterback, the right side, one-on-one with 70 threw him into the center. And I'm like, what is going on? And that's because I'm trying to figure out, why aren't they getting after the quarterback? These aren't bad pass rushers.
This is all of them. This is all of them. Nobody's exempt.
There's one who I have felt on a semi regular basis, and it's certainly not Bradley Chubb, even though it's the one with three sacks, and it's Jones
Phillips.
He's gotten in the vicinity of the quarterback way more than either Chubb and when Judon's not getting.
My biggest knock with Phillips, and I love, he's a stan of mine on the team, is he overshoots. He like over pursues, and like even with Chop. Chop would have had a sack. He got the snap was off and the right tackle did not move. Chop was in there and Justin Fields just took a step forward and he like fell behind him and then he ran. I'm like, they're like so close to getting the sacks, but at the end of the day, so close doesn't mean anything. You got to make the tackles and
pressure. It means something. Pressures. Wasn't Chop the number two pressure player in the NFL last year?
See, and I told everybody, please stop. His beginning point is promising, but slow down. He was the only guy, and sometimes when you're getting that many reps, I mean, numbers are going to start to show up.
He can only rush wide. He's a wide.
Yeah. No power. You're not fighting between the guard and the tackle. You're not bull rushing. You're just.
I would actually use him as a. I would use him as an elephant, a guy walking around picking which hole he wants to go in.
Yes.
And then rush.
Yes.
I'm off. But the funny thing is, Anthony Weaver said, because he was like, the Dolphins are like number one in blitz in the NFL, and Anthony Weaver confessed, "I'm blitzing to stop the run." Like, he's like, no offense, but I'm blitzing to stop the run. When you got a blitz to stop the run,
that's
you
a problem. Have a
problem. And they have a fundamental problem that there is no solution on this team. I'm at the point now where Matt Dickerson, I would claim him. I'm sorry, you're not doing anything with what you got.
Who do you call? If you're gonna claim somebody, you have to make room for him.
Okay. Omar getting rid of Taj Washington.
Somebody's gonna get hurt tomorrow. I mean, somebody's gonna get hurt. Keon Smith. I'm sorry, he belongs on.
No.
Oh yeah.
So you're gonna carry seven interior defensive linemen? Really?
You act like any of the six that's playing now are good.
I'm not. By the way, he's available. You don't even have to claim him or do anything. He's not with any team right now.
Well, he needs to be on the Dolphins practice squad at this present moment. So, listen, if they're not finding solutions, the whole saying of and I understand I'm not critical of rookies until the midseason point of the year. So these guys got four more games, okay? Yeah. But at this point, you got to realize you need help. They need to play less. At least let's start with playing them less snaps.
They did that with Jordan Phillips.
I'm starting with, hey, Zeke Biggers, I'm going to give you a tryout because it can't be any worse than what we got going on right now. Somebody has got to be the pillar of granite on that defensive line and not be able to get moved and be able to take on two blockers. They're not doing that. And then whoever the offense decides to take on to attack with two, like Zach, he gets moved to the second level. Then the center comes off him. He's washing the linebacker, 6-yard carry. Yeah, let's do it again. And you end up averaging 5.1 yards per carry. Like, the edges are compromised. Chop can't set the edge. Jalen Phillips can't drop back in coverage. Bradley Chubb, he's just a sack specialist. I don't even know what Matt Judon is.
I forgot he was on the team.
Listen, they have this is and the problem is this is a problem that's like cancer. It spreads everywhere if you don't address it. And you know, I'm glad that Barry asked him about
Christian. I was going to bring that up.
And you know, and truthfully speaking, have Christian have let Christian rehab here. Mm-hmm. So, and maybe, you know, hell, if somebody signs him next offseason, you get a compensatory pick for it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason that Christian shouldn't be here. Raekwon Davis, I'm calling you up, homie. I know you were average, but stop it. Is Raekwon Davis better than, if healthy? Answer this question, Alan Poupard. Yeah. I want an answer. If healthy, is Raekwon Davis better than what you're getting from Kenneth Grant and Jordan Phillips?
You're not benching either one of the two rookies for Raekwon Davis. Sorry, you're not.
Well, I didn't ask you that. You did not answer the question. Do not avoid answering the question. But it sounded productive
to what you're trying to establish. If you were a team that's got legitimate.
I'm trying to save my job. That's what I'm trying to establish. Ooh. I'm trying to save my job.
You're going to bench your two rookies.
Trying to save my job.
First of all,
I'll bench him, but
Davis is out of the NFL last I checked.
Yeah, he is. But that doesn't mean he had some injury that he's got a rehab. I don't know if he still wants to play. He might be 400 pounds by now.
He had blood clot issues last training camp. And I could be wrong, but I believe that's what happened to him again.
You act like this team is not fundamentally a believer of signing injured or hurt players.
They would never sign a player who's not ready to contribute immediately. Oh, wait.
Did you see my quote tweet of your tweet? Sorry. Alan, did you see my quote tweet of that tweet that you put out there? The fact that they go out, Cedric Wilson Jr., and he can't practice right away because he had a procedure, and he's not going to be practicing probably for 2 weeks.
I'll be thinking the Dolphins got dead players or something, and they just paying them back.
Right? Like, hey, just come back.
No, listen, I am not a Cedric Wilson fan. I'm on record as not a Cedric Wilson fan. This guy down here, he knows how much I'm not a Cedric Wilson fan. However,
very mean to him.
I have been. However, he knows your offense. Anybody you bring into this team, it would take them 8 games to learn this offense.
Yeah, but is he going to play in 8 games?
Yeah, he's going to play in 8 games. He can help this team, not right now, but he can help this team. This offense is like calculus in terms of guys figuring out what to do. And then once they do figure out what to do, developing Tua's trust, which you guys know is not a given. That's why NWI, I'm curious to see where that goes because they've been working for a couple of weeks now. And, you know, is NWI going to earn Tua's trust? But yeah, they go to the familiar well because on offense, especially because it's extremely complicated. I've never covered a team with an offense more complicated to learn than this one.
But you and Alan just highlighted the big issue with the Dolphins in your back and forth. If you got an opportunity to get a player that can contribute, even if it's marginally better on the defensive trenches, you won't take it because you've made massive investments in the young guys. So what do? Just keep on pushing forward and looking like you're going to lose your job, or do you try to actually save it and play the better player? Because it reminds me of Noah Igbinoghu and Cam Smith. If Kenneth Grant played corner, he'd be on the shelf. You know, and I know the equivalence of having corners already in place, but is Kenneth Grant contributing at all for us right now, to be quite honest? Are we getting real contribution? But I got to know how big the scale is to gauge what that is.
The scale is the whole screen.
Okay. And that's not acceptable. I don't, regardless of being a rookie that needs to develop and continue, I'm sorry, you need more than that right now.
4 games into his NFL career. Yeah.
They had one good one or one promising one.
That he also had got a little hurt. In fairness to the young man, he got hurt in the exhibition season. And even though a guy isn't on your injury report, don't think he's 100%.
I would 100%.
I would argue to you or make the case that he's not the prettiest body guy. And I think he could use a lot of conditioning and weight room work. But this is what you decided you wanted to do. You wanted to just throw him out there and put him out there and, you know, and let him learn and take the lumps. But what you didn't expect is that it was going to compromise your entire defense.
Yeah, this is like catastrophic how we're handling the run D as a unit. This is catastrophic. This isn't just a, hey, man, we got to figure out how to stop the run. What we are seeing is catastrophic from a run defense. I don't even know where we're ranked in run defense, but 30. This got to be bottom five. It has to.
Yes, it's 30th.
Yeah.
It's 30th. And
you can't control any game like this.
They're allowing 5.1 yards per carry. Everybody got a first down. You get a first down. Everybody get a first down. 30th. Yeah. And you're always going to be in third and difficult, third and shorts. Mm-hmm. That means you're opening up the play for run and pass. That means pass rushers can't pin their ears back. That means, sometimes teams don't even need third downs.
You know who's 30? Sorry, you know who's 31st in run defense?
Carolina.
Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I saw that too.
How about that?
You would think with that information, you would throw it on first and 10 on their 20, run it on first and 10 on their 21.
Ooh. We got faith in our quarterback, Doug. Stop that.
It's not even about that. It's about chewing the clock up and not letting them get the ball back. But, you know,
play to win the game.
Let's get into predictions and then we get into the chat. I have the Dolphins winning. I don't think the defense is going to stop much. Maybe they do. Maybe they wake up and all of a sudden surprise the heck out of us. Save the Dolphins win 27-17. Omar?
21-17. The Dolphins win. But if they lose.
If they lose, just fire. What are you waiting for? I can't stand them. I wish I had the picture loaded so I could just pop it up of him just sitting there like,
I have the Dolphins also winning in a close game by 3.
Okay.
31-23, Miami.
Little unsung hero.
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, Miami going to score this game.
We scoring on defense?
I'm not even going to say that, but we'll hold them to three field goals. We'll let them go down there, get to the 20-something, and then kick field goals.
Question. I know how me and Omar feel about it, but how do you guys feel about PFF's grading system, TD and Allen?
Well, about 2 years ago, I kind of did a little study on PFF. It has its flaws. It also outlines that it has a plus-minus variance. You know, it ain't going to be a perfect science. But what you do, you take every play and every player and you evaluate. You know, like take for a quarterback, for instance, you know, ball placement based off a trajectory, just so many factors that go into it. I actually take it for its raw stats, like you're counting big time throws and different stuff like that. Now, the rating can be skewed. It could be an offset. It could be an offset stat that brings it down or up. Like one thing with quarterbacks, people don't realize. So a quarterback dumps it down underneath for 5 yards, but you had a guy wide open coming across the middle for 15, they're going to ding you for that. I mean, you're literally looking at your path of vision and you're looking at a wide open guy available for the bigger play. They'll ding you for that. So those are the type of things that I recognize that it does take into consideration. But again, unless we can see the raw data, which I haven't been able to see, then I can't trust it 100% to be able to actually verify statistics. Like one thing that people always say, what is the sample size? Because you can lie to people with the truth. You can lie to people with the truth, but what's the sample size?
Like telling you who is the second most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Omar, that's what I'm talking about.
False in the history of the NFL too.
Because I honestly think that PFF is a little subjective, but one of their grades that interests me and I actually kind of agree with is Rasul Douglas. They have him at 80.5, the sixth best corner in the NFL right now.
I never got to give my take on PFF, by the way.
I'll do it very quickly.
My joke is I love PFF and it's the greatest thing ever when their grade supports my argument. That's my joke. And in reality, I don't like the grading system because not just me, Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, yes, the same point I did is How can you put a grade if you do not know the assignment on the play of each player? I do like some of their stats, like how many times a guy's playing in this particular defense, how many times is
or yes, for offensive yes. players in the raw data, yeah.
Right, the raw data I really like. The grades is like,
yeah.
Yeah, it can be tough.
Like, that's the thing, because there was a play where Tua threw a pass, I don't remember to who, and I remember somebody on Twitter said to me, like, I pointed out, like, oh, it was a beautiful pass, yada, yada. And someone was like, well, he also had so-and-so down the seam. I'm like, well, that's his second read. If the first read's open, aren't you going to throw it to the first read? Mm-hmm. So it's like, these are the things that you have to take. Like you said, like Spagnuolo said, how do you know what the assignment also, is?
Who decides what's a big-time throw? I mean, it could be, for example, it could be a back shoulder throw where, you know, they look, oh, you threw it behind the receiver.
Yeah, they have a definition for it. I know it's like a certain amount of yardage outside the numbers or over this yardage. It's something. They have a definition sheet, too. If you go on PFF,
yeah,
all their abbreviations, they clearly define it, too. So, again, it ain't a perfect science. But here's the thing. It's the only real science out there. I mean, you got stats everywhere. Everybody got stats, but somebody actually trying to do a ratio composite overall.
Because it's big business, and they create a monopoly. And
isn't QBR kind of like?
Is it a monopoly, Omar?
Huh?
Is it a monopoly?
Stay tuned. It is a monopoly. I don't think. I think.
Exactly. Is it?
I'm not gonna say anything about PFF because my feelings are well known and they're not fans of me. However, just look at who's grading. Give me the qualifications.
Yeah. Omar, I saw you posted a lot of PFF stuff back in 2023.
No. I haven't posted anything PFF in 10 years. I can tell you the date that stops. I used to do it every week. Like, oh, okay, this is, and then players got on me about that and really educated me. And I remember Richie Incognito was one of the guys that would be like, "Yeah, that's bull crap." And you know, people tell me they're in with agents, sports agencies, and things like. I listen. There's a whole lot to that stuff that y'all don't know, and even the teams The teams created their own analytics department because they had to counteract what PFF was doing and how they were. PFF was – agents were using PFF to just – like Javon Holland, let me ask you something. At what point ever in his Dolphins career was Javon Holland a top five safety?
Never.
If he was.
Well, no, I think early in his career, I think he was.
Never.
Jewish. I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah.
I thought that was the question.
Not never. But PFF had him rated going into his final year of his contract as what, the number two safety in the league or something like ridiculous like that? Come on, man.
Hey, smart agents getting them paid.
Free agency in general going into 2025 season, they had him as the third best free agent.
Yeah. No. Third best free agent, but I know he was rated
in 2023. Yes, he was ranked the third best safety with a 90.4 PFF grade.
What?
Out of 95 safeties.
There must be another Javon Holland in the NFL.
He might have cooked that year.
One last question, and then we'll answer these donations. Would you consider QBR kind of like the same like PFF? Isn't QBR very subjective as well, or is it?
Yeah.
See, passer rating, which is strictly Omar. Yes, I'm going to get to you over here. Passer rating, which is not subjective in the least, it's strictly numbers. However, it does not account for anything such as all it accounts for is the end result of the play.
Thank you.
You know, for example, a 2-yard dump off that turns into an 80-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah,
is like the same as a 60-yard.
God, they need. I can't stand how. Because people use that, right? And again, I don't mean to bring up this guy. I don't mean to bring up a certain player that, you know, their fan base thinks that we – Justin Herbert. You look at his rookie year where he set those records. He was second in the NFL in yak.
Doug, he is
second in the NFL in yak with those records.
He threw yards. Doug.
So how much of those passing yards that he set the record in was him actually throwing the ball versus dumping off to Eckler, who took it the rest of the way?
Yeah, and it's the same thing as completion percentage being extraordinarily high when you dump off
yeah.
times a game.
Or throw 40-yard comebacks. when only the receiver.
Yeah, I know. Mahomes used to do it with Tyreek all the time. I agree with you, TD.
Hey, you know my opinion on Mahomes. I'm not one of these Mahomes truthers. I've been telling people about Mahomes, but anyway.
Let's short, well, before we jump into 656 in the chat, be sure to hit the thumbs up and hit that subscribe button. We're getting closer and closer to 9K. Hopefully, we'll hit 10 soon. Flick Shorts with the Tour says Tua needs those boot cleats so he stops slipping. Was he slipping? I think he was.
And so what? His leg could be planted into the ground and then he tear an ACL? No, I'm good. Like, don't. Whatever your trainer, whatever the trainer, Joe Tremino, tells you those cleats to wear, that's what you wear. Like, there's only been one instance where it was the Pittsburgh playoff game and it was snowing. Mm-hmm. And players were like, we went out on a field and we were slipping and sliding. Mm-hmm. And then they made us change our cleats and they put on those long cleats. And then on the first drive, Antonio Brown like scored in like two plays because nobody on the Dolphins could change directions. Their feet were stuck in the ground. And then all you saw after that drive was like a whole defense switching their cleats. Wow. Like you on the sideline, you saw everybody was switching their cleats and switching their shoes. They were like, yeah, this ain't working.
Isn't that what happened to Marino? His cleat got stuck and then he turned and he tore his Achilles. Isn't that what happened to him when he tore his Achilles?
No, he was just going back and it just went the same thing that happens now. It just like it wasn't a thing of getting stuck in there.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing for that, but that's the Pittsburgh game that Matt Moore got knocked out.
Hey, he came back in that game, though.
He should not have came back.
Matt Moore, and I love Matt Moore. I do truly love Matt Moore.
That was when Tannehill got hurt,
Matt Moore,
right?
And a regular Matt Moore, there really isn't any difference.
If there were spotters back then, they would have been like, get him out of that game. Put him in the tent. John with the 20 said Tua was pretty good when he had a bad offensive coordinator and no receivers. I have confidence with these multiple offensive coordinators they hired and with the current talent, even without Hill, he can get the job done.
Yes on B, no on A.
I think he'll spread the ball more, but I think it's going to be harder because, again, you don't have Tyreek Hill taking some of the coverage away.
Right. I think it's probably going to be harder to run the ball.
Yeah.
But two is just going to spread the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Quick little three to 7 yarders. Let's keep moving.
Crossers and all
that. Not shade, Omar. Omar, that wasn't shade, but that's what it's going to be.
Y'all so damn disrespectful. That man, I'm going to look up his yards per throw average because y'all so disrespectful.
That's not a knock, Omar.
No, I don't like that. Y'all know that man is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, and you know what? He actually does have a solid yards per throw. Because I keep telling you, 1 yard pass, 40 yard comeback. That's 20. That's high. That
average
the high in the league.
25th in the NFL this year, average pass length.
Oh, never mind.
Smarty James with the fiver said, "Oh my god." If Tua doesn't have chemistry with you, he won't throw you the ball. Darren Waller's first game, 2 touchdowns. Maybe he had chemistry with Darren Waller.
Those are plays called for Darren Waller.
Or maybe Darren Waller was completely wide open on the second one, and on the first one, he saw him in the back of the end zone and realized.
I think both of those plays were called for Darren Waller.
Yeah.
The one in the back of the end zone?
I'm not sure about the first one. That looked like
it. No. The first one is a play isolated. I've seen that.
That was totally Tua. Don't take credit from Tua on that one. I think Tua escaped the pocket, saw him back there, put it up, improvising. Give him his credit, Omar. Just don't fight it. Give him
that one. Stop shorting the man, Omar.
Yeah, give Tua that one. I was actually impressed. I was like, okay, Tua.
Did y'all catch the moment during the press conference where Marcel from ESPN was basically telling him, hey, back in 2021, you were playing with trash at wide receiver. Jaylen Waddle was basically your only weapon. And then I started busting out laughing. Dude was like looking at me like Omar. He's like, all right, go on. Because he was like, yeah, you basically had Jaylen Waddle and nobody else. And
wow. The funny thing is, if you look at that receiver core, Jalen Waddle, the rest of the receivers aren't in the NFL right now, so he's not. Devontae Parker's not in the NFL right now.
But he retired. I'm sorry. Yes, Devontae was hurt all the time, but he had Mike Gesicki. He had Mike Gesicki, who was a slot receiver. He had Isaiah Ford. He had the little the former quarterback turned wide receiver.
Albert Wilson.
No. The other one. The guy that from Kentucky.
Lynn Bowden Jr.
Yes.
Did he play? He barely played, didn't he?
He barely played, but that was to his weaponry.
I was gonna say something, forgot what I was gonna say. Anyway.
Oh, was Mac Hollins on that team? I think Mac Hollins was on that team.
Yes.
Mac Hollins
was on the team.
And 2020, yeah, 2020.
Because I remember the COVID.
Yeah, but we're talking about 2021.
I'll look it up right now as you guys keep talking.
Yeah.
Matt O with the tenor said, considering the 1-3 start and Hill injury, what would need to happen for you to consider the remainder of the season successful, or perhaps make running it back in 2026 a good idea?
You know what's funny? I just wrote a column about that in the Miami Herald.
I'll read it.
And I basically said, I don't want no more excuses. I don't care.
Nope.
I don't care. I don't want to hear a single excuse about anything that happens this season. Yes, you don't have Tyreek Hill anymore. Tough titty, because this is the roster you made.
Exactly.
You made this offensive line. You made this defensive line. You signed these starting cornerbacks a month before the season started. Mm-hmm. This is the roster you made. I don't want to hear anything else about excuses. That Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is the only free agent wide receiver you added when you could have added plenty more. Hell, you could have added Mac Hollins. I would have done a backflip if you added Mac Hollins.
Yeah, you're right.
You made this roster, and I don't want to hear not a one excuse.
You extended everybody. These are the results. Go win.
Will you win a playoff game or you're fired?
Pay Jalen Waddle like he's a top 10 receiver in the NFL. Well, we about to see if he's about a top 10 receiver in the NFL.
You did
all of that.
2026 came early.
I wrote about that on MiamiDolphinsOnSI.com.
Go read it.
Thank you.
I don't write anything. I'm dyslexic. But go read these two guys' stuff.
Waddle is a top receiver.
I think he is.
Top what?
Top 10 receiver in the NFL?
No. I think he can be. He just need the proper.
Just so you know, somebody hit me up on Twitter.
He need the proper
quarterback.
Anyway. Courier that can deliver the ball in the ways that best suit his abilities.
Listen, I said it for you.
There's no quarterback he's got more chemistry with than the NFL. Nobody knows his skill set better than
you. You pull Waddle with Herbert, man. Oh man, Waddle all pro.
Yak. Anyway, somebody hit me up on Twitter and was like, I can't believe you guys talking about trading Waddle. I was like, I didn't say anything about trading Waddle. It was you guys, and I get lumped in with the nonsense you guys talk about. Listen, I'm not always with them, right?
You're talking about distance yourself from us?
Unfair. That's unfair. I think that was just me.
And again,
it was contingent on if you realize that it's failing, then go get what you can, because I'm looking at it. Where would a team be 3 years from now?
Waddle's contract's basically up after 2026. You want to hold on to it. You can, but if you're
rebuilding, you're not going to be ready to compete for Super Bowl.
If you offer me a second round pick for Jalen Waddle, I'm doing a deal.
Yeah, me too.
So again, I will ask this question because I get told no all the time, whether in my comment section or on Twitter. I'm going to start with Omar. No playoff win, 8-win season. Is Greer and McDaniel fired? Omar.
In my dreams, yes.
But in reality, 8-9, are they fired?
Things are complicated with Greer, as I've always explained to you.
Don't do this to me.
Are
you going to say the same thing?
Did you see that Gruden ruling?
Things are complicated with Greer. I've learned they're not going to go Gruden because Stephen Ross is going to have to walk on eggshells around the rest of his peers until this Brian Flores lawsuit goes away.
That's what I meant about Gruden. You saw the ruling.
Yeah.
So the main thing is how they likely to have.
Yeah, but you know what? The NFL can throw Gruden $50 million and it's going to go away. Mm-hmm. Gruden's going to win because they did absolutely out him. Gruden's going to win and they're going to pay him off because he's company man and they're going to let him back in the door. Flores, ain't no dollar amount you could pay that man. This is personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I don't know about that. Now it's always the dollar about Omar.
You
make sure you get me my head coach job and give me my money. Hey, let's just move on.
No, sir.
He's a different guy.
You clearly don't know Brian Flores.
Ah, man.
This is a man who everybody in the world knew he was tanking, but he wasn't tanking.
Is Miami part of that lawsuit, or is it the Giants?
They took Miami out, but he's allowed to sue. It's a class action lawsuit with every NFL.
It's Giants. Every owner getting sued.
So every owner is getting sued.
Getting sued. You're
but the Dolphins have to. They have to handle the contract, which is basically pay him the money they owe him for starters. And
I forgot about that too. Because they're
out of it, but they will be deposed. They will be on the stand, and what Chris Greer says can impact whether Steve Ross gets to continue to own his team.
What is Greer
now? It really no. I'm going to stop because I'm going to say something bad. Anyway, Q with the fiver. He also donated another fiver, and he said, "What happened to the Kobe mentality we heard around Waddle when he got drafted? This is the moment. Love the show, fellas. Fins up.
Salute, Q."
What Kobe mentality we heard?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Now, I think a lot of people were basically saying that's what he was going to bring, and that's, you know, ooh. Kobe Mamba mentality.
Y'all don't know Waddle. That's very laid back.
Even when he got drafted, it was very awkward when he got drafted. Because remember, he just got up.
Yeah,
Shot differently, and he got told he celebrated. Because
he celebrated with his family before that, and then when the moment happened, he just got up.
Because a lot of those moments staged, because they already know it's a replay.
Yeah, it's basically
which is hilarious that he was just like.
Gone. They're all fake celebrating because they celebrated earlier.
Yeah, they get the phone call. Remember that back in the day where they would show it? We knew the picks were like well beforehand because they would.
They still do. Phone. They just make it a better show. TV production.
Phil Jones with the tenor said, "Add Theo Weiss for a couple of weeks to see what we got. This is the easy / cheap thing to do. Assign Tudor to force feed him the playbook. No knee jerk signings. We've had time before the deadline. Go ahead, Alan.
I kind of know what we got with Theo Weiss, who, by the way, runs very nice routes. Big body guy, uses body well to body up also, but he is slow.
Mm. And physically or with the playbook?
No. He's slow physically.
Mm.
And I paid attention.
Westbrook Akine.
Sorry?
Not
any slow. He is some kind of slow. And then I was paying attention to him in the joint practices in Detroit.
Oh.
And that dude was not moving. That's a concern with him, but because he's got a lot of things to like. But I worry about him being able to get open.
Christian with the fiver said, "Any possibility we re-sign Tyreek to a team-friendly deal? I want him to retire a Dolphin, best athlete on our team in 25 years.
I've said it. I said that they could be – it could be a good possibility for him, and I wouldn't be opposed to it. Here's the problem. The doctor's speculation today, which is not founded in fact, but, you know, y'all were telling me his leg was dangling in a actual certified doctor said that looks like he has nerve damage potentially. So you just got to keep this whole process going to see what his status is before any of that even matters.
They have to March.
Yeah, March.
I think.
Oh, he's being cut. Don't listen. He was.
But a possible reunion afterwards, though, right?
Oh, correct. He could be cut and then resigned, but they got like.
Yeah, he's being cut. That's $36 million. They get back.
You know who needs.
Now, could they understand? It totally depends on if this regime is going to be here.
Yeah.
Could they sign him to a $2 million deal and allow him to rehab here with the hope that he can eventually get back to where he was? I think anybody who thinks that Tyreek is going to be healthy enough for the season opener, you're delusional.
Mm.
You're truly delusional. And no matter what Drew says, you understand Drew's job is to sell.
So, yeah.
sell his prospects. Now, will Tyreek work harder than anybody has ever worked to get back on the football field? Probably yes. But this wasn't a regular ACL tear or ACL and a PCL and an MCL. This was it. The knee was torn. The knee was ripped out.
He lost the leg. Now you got to build it back.
Yeah.
And you know, it compounds, though, with what you're saying, Omar, because you got to factor his age, too. You know, all of that. Tyreek was talking about it in the offseason. Training camp feel different now. I'm starting to feel it. My age, you know, and now you got to rehab and try to get back to that, knowing that there's going to be a period between there where you're working through pain, you know, just to, you know, it's a process, and he's getting older. You might, I mean, you never know. You can look up and say, is it even worth it? Can he even get to his prime again?
I think it's, he'll never get to his prime again.
No,
but it will be a great story, a Hall of Fame worthy story, when he actually does get back on the field and play an NFL game and make an NFL catch. I'm not talking about 1,000 yards. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about Isaiah Ford level contribution. If you have it back there,
it's kind of like the Alex Smith situation and how he eventually he didn't do much, but he did make it back on the field after that Joe Theismann injury.
Well, Dolphins aside, for Tyreek, I would like to see him do that with the Chiefs before he ends his career.
Speaking of, I think the Dolphins should sign Xavier Howard to a one-day contract and let him officially retire a Dolphin. Because that man, regardless of how many games he played for the Colts, he's a Dolphin.
If you sign him now, he'd still play. He just doesn't want
Omar, you hit the nail on the head. The reason he wasn't playing last year, and then the reason he retired, because Teron called him. He said that 3 hours he talked to Teron, and 3 hours later he decided his retirement, because Teron said to him, he was like, you sound like you already made your decision. I don't know what you're calling me for. It was his kids. Because I asked him, I said, if he would have went to Miami, because he didn't know anyone really in Indy. I was like, if he went to Miami,
only went to Indy because it's Lou Anarumo. I talked to Xavier before he made his decision, and it's just like he said after the Miami game, he was super up for the Miami game. And then after the Miami game, he just had no passion.
You realize I'm an Indy.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's not about Indy. He was like,
my kids are back home too, though. You know.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever lived away from your kids? Like,
I get it.
It's, you know, and he's not with the mother anymore, so you can't relocate.
Even harder. And that's why you're saying. Is that why you're saying if it was Miami, he would still be playing?
Oh yeah, he'd still be playing. Wow. If it was the Dolphins.
Well, because I asked Teron that, and Teron said that it sounded like. He was like, regardless, he just missed his. It's kind of like I associate it with wrestling. A lot of wrestlers like Ric Flair who say, I'm done, I'm retired, always come back because it's that pop. It's that feeling you get. If it's not there, you don't have it. And, you know.
Yeah. He was like, I couldn't get. He told me, I would call the opposing receivers to talk trash. Hoping that it would like get me motivated, like for the game, and he was like, "Nothing worked." Wow. And I was like, "Dude, you calling the opposing receivers to talk trash, and you can't get up for a game." And that's when you're that's the thing about it. And I think Tyreek's injury had something to do with his decision, because he can walk away from this game completely.
Yeah,
healthy.
Yeah.
And after you see that, and you know, anytime you step on a field, you are risking what?
Just rolling the dice, man.
What happened after you see that? And he's like his daughter called him crying before the game about missing you, daddy. And I want you to come home, and I don't want you to play no more. He was gone. Done. He was gone.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah. They could have offered him $15 million. He was like, I'm going home. Yeah. But anyway, that is the episode. Thank you guys so much for hanging out. Be sure to hit the like button on your way out. If you haven't already, you can go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald. You can check out Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TD Fins Talk, youtube.com/TD Fins Talk, and myself, youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. We will see you Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Was it 7 or 7:30? I don't even remember. We'll see you Tuesday.
Omar tell us every week.
We'll see you Tuesday.
Don't say it's just me.
With another victory, one game closer to going back to .500 and essentially restarting the season. Can they turn it around? We'll talk about that on Tuesday. But we are out. Later.